Online, registering now for winter term. This is NHPR News.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Of all the casualties of the Great Recession, young people were hit the hardest. College graduates in their early 20s, diplomas in hand, were met with a beleaguered job market. Many were forced to move back in with their parents and forestall launching their careers, buying homes, marrying, and having children, leading some to label them Generation Wait. But at the same time that young people complained they couldn't find good jobs, employers began complaining about a scarcity of young and able workers, a skills gap, they called it. And to narrow that gap, companies began urging schools to put a greater emphasis on so-called STEM subjects, standing for science, technology, engineering, and math. It's become a mantra also for political leaders worried about global competitiveness. But STEM is just one way that high schools and colleges are looking to meet the employment needs of 2013 and beyond. Today in The Exchange, our week-long series, How We Work, 5 years later, continues with a look at how we educate and prepare students in a post-recession world with an eye toward pursuing careers and landing jobs. Let's hear from you. Are you a recent graduate, either from high school or college? What are your plans? How have those plans worked out? And how has your education helped prepare you or not for the current job market? Give us a call. The Exchange number, we'd love to hear your stories. 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Email is exchange at nhpr.org. Facebook is NHPR Exchange, all one word. We have two guests for the hour. Ross Cattell is here, Chancellor of New Hampshire's Community College System, Forecast Manager of the New England Economic Partnership. And Ross, it's really nice to see you. Thank you for being here.
Good to be here, Laura.
Also with us, Crystal Hicks, Associate Director of Career Support and Employer Outreach at the UNH Career Center. And Crystal, it's great to meet you. Thank you also for your time.
Thank you.
Well, and both of you, Ross, I'll start with you first. You've been in this field of higher education at UNH and now at the community college system for a long time. How have you seen young people's hopes and expectations, Ross, about the world of work changing over that time?
They've changed a lot. I mean, we had a very strong economy nationally and in New Hampshire during the 90s, running up to 2000 and the 2001 recession. And then an improving economy coming out of the 2001 recession until we hit the Great Recession in 2008, 2009. And during the good times, the economic good times, when I was a faculty member at UNH and teaching at the business school there, our students placed very well in New Hampshire and more broadly in the greater Boston area and beyond. And they were optimistic about the future and were confident that that bachelor's degree, that business degree, would serve them well short-term and also long-term. And now the tide has changed. It's a very uncertain economic environment and labor market. There's been a very slow recovery from the 2008-2009 recession. That's had lingering effects on students' economic situation and their family situation. And then once they do graduate from our colleges with the associate degrees or from UNH and other institutions with the bachelor's degree, they're disappointed because the jobs aren't there. And if they do get employed, oftentimes they could be underemployed. And they're vulnerable because they know that if they don't perform well, there's other people. The unemployment rate nationally is still over 7%. And there's that economic uncertainty that will affect their careers on an ongoing basis. So it's a very different environment than when we were sitting here, 20 years ago and 10 years ago.
You know, it's interesting to hear you talk, Ross. There's been a lot of finger pointing lately at the education system. And I'm talking, you know, high school, universities, community colleges, saying, look, you guys in education aren't preparing students for the workforce. You're not doing a good enough job to give us the workers we need, to give them the jobs that they need so they won't be underemployed. But you're saying, Ross, it's also just the economy.
Yeah, it's the general environment.
Because it worked before.
Yeah. Now, you asked me a question. The general environment is very different. And then within the context of where is our economy, New Hampshire specifically, and the national economy, and how does it relate to this connection between education and the economy and the career prospects and economic prospects of our graduates. And global competition has increased and the use of technology across a broad range of industry has increased. 10 years ago, we weren't all sitting here with smartphones and we didn't know mobile apps and we didn't train our students to be able to do mobile apps and to operate in a digitalized manufacturing environment. But there are really good opportunities, and I use the word good specifically if students have the appropriately skills and training. And that includes a lot of on the application of technology, analytical skills, problem-solving skills, and being very strong communicators at the workplace. And I think education in general has been slow in recognizing the changing and more competitive needs of the workplace and adapting to that.
So we education know, does play a part in this.
Yes,
not quite keeping up to date with the workforce needs.
And we know, and it's always well recognized, that industries had to change in the face of changing technology, changing world economy, changing global competition. And I think education institutions have been slow to act like businesses and be more agile and understand these changes, how they affect their students' career and economic prospects, and what to do about it.
What do you think, Crystal? What are you hearing from the students that you work with at UNH about their expectations for once they leave school, what they might meet in the workforce, and this broader idea that Ross is making that the connection between workforce and education, I don't want to say it's broken down, but it's not as solid as it could be.
I think the biggest thing, so you said the word competitive. That is hands down one of the biggest things. We don't just want our students to go to school and get the 4.0 and go out and apply and think that that's all there is to it. I'm very blunt with the students that I meet with and our team and our employer relations team. And when we go and sit down and talk to students about what employers are really looking for and, you know, when they're coming to campus to hire, you know, what kind of students and skill sets they want to see, we tell them, if you come here and you go to school here for 4 years and you only leave with a degree, you have seriously wasted your time.
This really?
Is not, yes, it's not just about getting the 4.0. Getting the job is, you know, job hunting is a completely different skill set than an academic skill set. So you're not going to go into your gen eds or your discovery courses that we call them at UNH now, or go through your major courses and learn how to find a job in that field. You got to come to the Career Center. And we have seniors that come in 3 weeks before graduating and they're like, hey, so what can I do with my psychology degree? Or what can I do with this degree in math? Like, they have no idea. And so our biggest goal and our initiatives and our department, probably since you've been at UNH, Ross, has grown significantly
on the Career Center.
We actually have a team now. So we are out with freshmen. We are going to parent orientations. I've had students and their parents come and see me before the students even sat in their first class saying, I want to talk about this. What do I need to do? And it really is. It's about making them competitive. So I can tell students right now, if you leave here with a 4.0, guess what? You're one of maybe 400 applicants for that job. And maybe 30% of them also have very high GPAs. What's going to make you different? What's going to make you stand out? Chances are it's not what's on your resume. It's going to be how your approach is to that job. And there are a lot of things that they can do aside from just sitting on a job board. 80% of jobs are never posted. So if you're sitting on Monster all day, you're spending the majority of your time on the one resource that puts out the least results, and that's ineffective, and it's very frustrating. And then students want to throw in the towel and say, well, my degree is not doing me anything. It's a totally different skill set. You can't blame the economy all the time. You can't blame the job market. We have more jobs than we can fill at the Career Center. I have employers that call me all day, every day, saying, hey, I want to jump on Wildcat Careers, our online recruiting system, and I want to post some jobs and internships. And we're like, great. And we set them up, and we have over 500 jobs, part-time, full-time, and internships. We vet every single one of them. So these are not vacuum cleaner salespeople jobs. These are, you know, major related. And we have jobs on there that have zero applicants.
Come on, really?
No, absolutely. This is nothing new. So students need to use the Career Center. Parents need to encourage their students to use the Career Center and to really not think of career and post-college life as something I'll do my senior year. We really get in front of freshmen and sophomores as much as possible, because if a sophomore comes in, we have so much time to work with them. We can get them multiple internships. They can become extremely competitive, get them to study abroad. International experience is something that employers are looking for a lot now because of diversity initiatives. So it's really – the economy comes into play, but to use that as the excuse as to why a new grad is not finding a job, that effort has to be proactive. It can't be reactive.
So don't just blame the economy. Don't just blame the education that's giving you your degree, high school or otherwise.
Right.
You need to think about this earlier, and you need to engage on this
Employers
issue.
Employers will ask in an interview. They'll say, so great, your resume looks great. Good job on the GPA. What else did you do? And if a student can't sit there and talk about one student org they were a part of, it's like you can't blame the institution.
All right. Let's take some calls if we could. Lots of folks want to jump in our conversation. The number here in the exchange, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. And Amelia's calling from Manchester. Hi, Amelia. You're on the air. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. So I'm a recent grad, just graduated in May. I graduated from Emmanuel College in Boston. It's a private Catholic liberal arts school. And I'm employed with two jobs. So I have to completely agree with what Ross and Crystal both said, especially Crystal, because that's my experience. I got really involved. It was a small school, so it sort of is very much encouraged to get really involved on campus, become a part of student leadership. Study abroad is very much encouraged, but the most encouraged is internship. And so a lot of what my experience on campus was working with first-year students, so in a different variety, like mentoring, academic, and also like relational, how do you adjust to the college environment. But in all my interaction, open houses and things like that with prospective students, all I heard from the English department, at least, was, what are your internships? What do you have available? How many students are getting employed? A lot from the parents, but really a lot from the kids, too. So I guess students and parents are looking for those spaces. But what I also saw working with students, especially as freshmen, we were trying to show them the resources on campus, and from campus ministry to the counseling programs to our career center. And our career center, I don't know what it's like at UNH, but at Emmanuel, it's very strong. And it's a lot of the similar situations as Crystal is saying. But one of the cool things that students might not know is their career center might be open to them as graduates. So as an alumni, I can visit my career center when I'm 50.
All right. Well, Amelia, good luck to you. Thank you very much for calling in. A couple points to follow up on after a short break. Thanks for that call, Amelia. You can join us, too. We want your stories, your questions and comments about preparing young people for the workforce needs of today. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. We'll be right back.
This is NHPR 919. Good morning. Don't want to fix the latest thing to break down in your car? Well, then maybe it's time for you to donate it to NHPR. It's as easy as becoming a member. All you have to do is make a phone call. We'll fill out the paperwork and arrange for the pickup and the sale of your vehicle. Just call 1-877-393-NHPR to get things started, or you can go online to nhpr.org. More of our series, How We Work, 5 years later on The Exchange at 10 on The Diane Rehm Show, Evolving American Attitudes on Same-Sex Marriage. Support for NHPR comes from UR members, and support also comes to us from NCAP Group Captive Employee Insurance Solutions from Clark and Levy. Details about upcoming NCAP presentations are available at bestbenefits123.com. And jobsinnh.com, connecting New Hampshire employers with local qualified job seekers, jobsinnh.com. How New Hampshire gets to work, online at jobsinnh.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, our series, How We Work, 5 years later, continues with a focus on education and preparing young people for the jobs of the future. We invite you to join us at 1-800-892-6477. If you're a recent high school or college graduate, what are your plans for your work, for your career? How have those plans worked out so far? And how has your education helped prepare you or not for the current job market that you find yourself in? Again, our number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Post a comment on our Facebook page. It's NHPR Exchange, all one word. And Ross Cattell, Crystal Hicks, before we go back to our listeners, I did want to get your thoughts on Amelia's call. Ross Cattell, there she is, making the point, saying, look, it's just not enough, kind of what Crystal was saying, to graduate with a nice grade point average and say thank you very much.
I think what we heard from Amelia, what we heard from Crystal about how career placement centers at UNH and other institutions have changed reflects that it's been 5 years since the Great Recession. And there's been a lot of learning. I think the reality has struck in students like Amelia and students across New Hampshire and their parents that, you know, you just can't go to school to get an education and then things will be okay, even if you get a bachelor's or a master's degree. And so, you know, with time and with a difficult economy, the reality has struck in. Also, with the high cost of education, higher education, particularly in New Hampshire, the reality for many, many families is that if they do invest in higher education for their children, there has to be economic returns from that. So they have to ask the questions that Amelia asked, that students are asking Crystal. And it's incumbent upon us as educators to talk to students about the economic consequences of their choices within education, with which major to take. Because studies have shown, national studies in New Hampshire, that whether you attain a bachelor's degree or an associate's degree, for example, is not most important as far as economic returns. It's what you major in, what you concentrate in. So if you concentrate in an engineering field, in a mathematics, in a computer field, and get an associate's degree, you're going to have better economic returns from that, much better economic returns than if you're a philosophy or English major at UNH. That doesn't mean if you aspire to be a philosopher or a journalist, you shouldn't be an English major or philosophy major. But I think it's very important for students and their family to understand your choice within education makes a difference in the economic outcomes. And we have to start informing parents and students about this, not just when they're sophomores in college, but when they're sophomores in high school or even when they're in middle school.
Okay, but here's my worry, Ross, and I think you know where I'm going to go with this.
I do.
I know where I'm going with this.
And I get asked this every time, which is a very important question.
Listen.
And I'm ready for you.
You know, there's economic returns, but there's happiness. If I studied engineering or science or math, I would be miserable. I like talking to people. Yeah. I like writing.
Well,
I like study. I like history.
I won't get in an argument with you personally, but maybe you wouldn't hate engineering or science because it's
okay,
a lot of
I won't use myself as an example. But here's the deal. Yeah. If parents are saying, you know, at a young age, 15, 16, whatever, you know, these STEM degrees get you more money, you know, maybe the kid is pushed into a certain area,
you know,
then he finds himself at 30 going, you know, I don't really like this.
But, you know, he or she might not like it, but it has economic consequences. That's, you know, people choose what careers they go into. People of our generation, Laura, chose different careers, and they maybe traded off some, you know, financial return for a passion for some that didn't pay as well. But, you know, students get on pathways very young these days, and they have to have appropriate technology and math training in high school and in college to, if their aspirations include, you know, being relatively high income earners. We should show them that that's one pathway. We also show them the pathway if they want to be, you know, the host of the exchange or a similar type position. But, you know, we go back to what Crystal and I emphasize. It's a very competitive labor market. So if you think you could wait till you're a senior in college to say, okay, I'll take my bachelor's degree from UNH and I'm going to get a very good job and I really don't have to prepare myself for those interviews, it's a very competitive job.
You know what else I like about Amelia's point is that she said people can go to the Career Center at 25, at 30. So that's something that I didn't realize.
Yes.
That's a nice resource.
We push our alumni resources strongly all year long. We're constantly reaching back out to the graduates who left us in May and then in December. And we're constantly emailing them and saying, hey, don't forget, you can always come in and see us. We've had, and kind of circling back to this conversation, we have students who leave with degrees and realize they really have no interest in that degree. And so now what? And we basically start over with them. And as a former journalism major myself with my undergrad in journalism from UNH, 2007, I graduated with my undergrad and newspapers were kind of catching on fire everywhere.
Wow, you graduated with a journalism degree in 2007.
Yes. And that was my undergrad, my master's is in higher ed, but did a phenomenal internship, had 6 months at the Eagle Tribune, New Hampshire edition in Derry, had over 100 pieces published, left with an amazing portfolio and realized, I loved my internship, and I knew I never wanted to work at a newspaper. So then what do I do? And I immediately, you know, jumped back into the bartending world, made more money than, you know, I needed, and started paying off my student loans and said, okay, at the end of this 1 year, I'm going to go find my real job. You know, I'm going to find my degree job. I'm going to do something else. I was freelancing on the side. And I stumbled into a staffing firm and said, hey, do you have any copywriting work? And they said, no, but do you want to be our admin? Because we actually need someone internally. And I fell backwards into the employment sector, completely found my niche, love what I do, couldn't imagine doing anything else. And I wrote job columns, and I still write a job, you know, blog today. So I'm able to still use my degree. And also, too, helping students with resumes. Oh, my gosh. I can't even tell you. My journalism degree comes into play every single day.
Absolutely.
So.
Those sharp writing skills.
Yes.
Wow. It's a great story, especially graduating in 07 with a degree in a field that was really struggling at that time.
And going back to the alumni's piece, too, we really stress to our alums, you know, hey, if you did succeed when you left us, come back and give back in not just writing a check to the university, but we have a Pathways program. And it's funny because you keep using this word Pathways, Ross, so it reminded me, but Pathways Alumni Mentoring Program, we have alums that if you made it in your field and we have a student that's pursuing that field, we connect them for a year, we throw a kickoff dinner, we have a finale dinner, and we create these mentoring pairs. And it's the chance for a student to really say, hey, this guy's doing what I want to do, and he's giving me all this great advice, and maybe I should do another internship, and maybe I should look in. So we've found a lot of success in that program as well.
Let's go back to our listeners. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477, email exchange at nhpr.org. Maria's waiting in Concord. Hi, Maria. Thanks for hanging on. Go ahead. You're on the air. Okay, looks like we lost Maria. I hope she calls back. 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange at nhpr.org. Facebook is NHPR Exchange, all one word. We've been talking about the college level mostly with Ross at the community college level and Crystal, you at UNH. I want to turn now, though, to what's happening at New Hampshire high schools. And for more on that, we've got Rhonda Hanaway. She's director of Greater Meredith's Career Partnership Program based at Interlakes High School in Meredith. And Rhonda, it's really good to have you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm excited to talk about the program.
Well, what sorts of approaches do you take with students today about starting to think about what they want to do when they graduate high school, whether it's community college, whether it's UNH, whether it's going into the military or going into the workforce? How do you talk to them about that?
Well, the Career Partnership Program is actually a unique program here in the state of New Hampshire. It's a collaborative effort, actually, between the nonprofit organization, the Greater Meredith Program, and the school, Interlakes District. So what we do is we focus on students in grades 9 through 12, and we have a five-prong approach that we, talk to the students about. We want to make sure that these students know what their interests are, what their passions are before they take that next step to apply to a college. I can't tell you how many students I've had come through my door and tell me, you know, Mrs. Hanaway, I want to be a pilot. I want to be this or I want to be that. And then we talk about it and we put them into a job shadow or an internship. And the end result might be great. They might still want to be that pilot. But sometimes the end result is, you know what? I didn't realize what a pilot does. I really don't want to be a pilot. So the program actually focuses on, you know, job shadows, one-day job shadows, getting students out into the community. If they're focused or if their passions lie in perhaps five different industries, we give them job shadows to see if, you know, it's something that they would like to pursue.
You know, that's really interesting. So even if you might say, all right, someone who's 15 maybe doesn't really have a clear idea of what he or she wants to do, but he or she has some idea, let's go to the business or the organization, see what they do, and they may come back to you and say, you know, I don't like that so much. That's really interesting, Rhonda.
It really is, and I have to say our community and the businesses and the local supporters of our program and the high school, the local high school here, have been wonderful. And the program deals with about 50 businesses per year. We help about 80 students. And, you know, once they come back from those job shadows, then they, they perhaps 11th and 12th grade, they have transportation, they kind of have an inkling of what they want to do. So we set them up into an internship, and number one, they can earn high school credits, which is really great. It looks good on your resume. It looks good, obviously, on your transcript. And I talk to the students a lot about building their resume, even with the job shadow piece. So we do have job shadows, internships. We also have three other prongs. I have a guest speakers bureau, which, you know, we send students out into the community. However, we want the community to come into the school as well. We want to get to a bigger group of students. So we have guest speakers from the businesses in the local area also come into the students and talk to them about different various industries as well.
You know, it's interesting, Rhonda, hearing you talk. I'm used to thinking about, you know, career fairs, internships, job shadowing at the college level, but here you are doing it at the high school level. How new an idea is this, that we need to start reaching in at the high school level to have young people start thinking about what they might want to do?
Well, I know a lot of schools in the area have programs, we all network with each other. Our program started in 2007, and it was really, really new, and we might have done a few job shadows or a few interns. The program has grown really in 6 years, and I've grown, you know, it's grown up to 30 interns and 50 job shadows for our program. I know a lot of the schools in the area have other similar programs like ELOs, which are called extended learning opportunities. And I know this has been around for, you know, maybe the past decade or a new idea, I should say. But to tell you the truth, I'm also a big advocate of even the elementary school level. You know, I used to teach junior achievement with that whole thing, getting the students ready about, you know, checkbooks and how businesses work. And so they're even touching upon the grade school level as well. But when they get into high school, those are the years. Those are the years where we need to really see what passions they have so that they're not going to a four-year college or a two-year college for something that they don't want to do.
Ron, if I could just jump in for a quick second. You said something that piqued my interest. I want to ask you about it. You said see what their passions are. What do you see the teenagers that you work with passionate about today? What are some of the fields of work that they seem interested in?
Well, demographically, we're in a very tourist area. And it seems to me that the students look at what is in their area, and a lot of their interests go to, I have a lot of students in hotel management. I have event planning. Those two, obviously, you're in a touristy area. You want to stay in your area. A lot of students I have in the medical field. Some of the local hospitals give the college students those internships, but I do get a lot of job shadow opportunities for students. My students shadow surgeries. They shadow nurses.
Surgeries,
ER.
Really?
Yeah, surgeries, family birth center. I mean, the opportunities are endless for my students, and we really try to push them to the levels that, you know, hey, try this, try that. Medical's a big industry at Interlakes. I also have a lot of health care, even veterinarian, in animals.
Rhonda, let me just ask you one more question, if I could, please.
Sure.
You know, as we hear stories of students graduating from high school or college, you know, being underemployed, as one of our guests said, having a really hard time finding meaningful, good-paying work. And some have turned to the education system, high school and college and community college, and said, hey, you guys aren't preparing these young people, getting them ready for the workforce of 2013. What do you say to that, Rhonda?
Well, I say honestly here at Interlakes with the Greater Merits Career Partnership Program that we actually hold a one-day job fair for our students in April to get them ready. We actually hold classes on interviewing skills and the do's and don'ts of interviewing and getting a job. Even though the program focuses on experiences, but we still want to help those students get summer jobs or spring jobs.
So you feel like you're doing your part.
Absolutely.
You shouldn't be brushed with that particular brush.
No, I think we're doing our part. In fact, a lot of the students hold the same summer job for years. They go away to college, and they come back. We had a situation where a while ago in the programs first started, the student was in automotive, and he went away to college, came back, and he went back to that same employer.
All right.
Because the employer knew him, you know.
Rhonda, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
That's Rhonda Hannaway, director of Greater Meredith's Career Partnership Program, as we heard, based at Interlakes High School. Our number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. And Crystal Hicks, Ross Cattell, real quick to you and then back to our listeners. I thought, Crystal, it was interesting to hear. We're starting to look at this at the high school level, not just the college level of, you know, what do you want to do and how are you going to get there?
Yeah, I think it's important. And not only just in the high schools, but parents, while your kids are in high school, have these conversations. And kind of what Ross was saying, you know, there are a lot of parents that I think are, hey, have you thought of computer science or have you thought of STEM? And, you know, as someone who took my only math course as soon as I had to at UNH and then pretty much finished it and ran with smoke behind me to never have to take another one, I understand the kids that really just aren't programmed that way. I'm not a STEM kid myself. But I think it's also important for parents to understand that sometimes pressuring that isn't always a great thing. I just had a student in my office 2 weeks ago who said, I'm really nervous to go home on Thanksgiving break because I always get so much pressure from my family about being an accounting major, and I really hate accounting.
So parents are pressuring their kids to go
right,
in STEM, because that's all they hear about.
I think parents are just, they're going into save my kid mode. You know, I want to save my kid because he has no direction and he doesn't know what he wants to do. So, hey, go try accounting. You'll at least have a job when you get out. But then students come to school and we really try to tell parents, you know, freshman year, they're taking their discovery courses. So they might try an environmental science. They might try an English. They might try a humanities and they might really find what they love. And we encourage that. So it's normal for them to come in and not have a lot of direction. It's just important that they come see us at the Career Center and we can kind of help them dissect that.
Well, it is great that these conversations are starting early. We're not pushing people to do one thing or the other when they're 15, but we're talking about it. Go ahead,
yeah,
Ross.
We're talking about different pathways. Mm-hmm. There's not just one path. All mm-hmm. pathways don't lead to STEM. Mm-hmm. But I want to get back to Crystal's own experience where, you know, not wanting to take more than one math course. I think it's a reflection on the way we teach math. And, you know, there's increasing demand in industry and the economy for these technical skills, you know, the STEM skills, the science, technology, engineering, mathematics. So it's really important that faculty understand there's a broader number of students who need background in education in that. So faculty and programs and administrators have to figure out how do you meet the needs of that population. And there's a lot of studies that say if you make math and science more practical and hands-on, you'll get a broader interest in it. We do that at the community colleges to make it more practical, hands-on, and students get engaged, and we've had good results.
Yeah, all right. Well, lots more to talk about after a short break. You can keep calling to 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. More of your thoughts and questions coming up.
This is NHPR 939. Good morning.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, a public rift in the Cheney family highlights evolving American attitudes on same-sex marriage. Then a reader's review of Billy Lynn's long halftime walk by Ben Fountain. All coming up on the Diane Rehm Show.
The Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 till noon on NHPR. Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Goff Wilson, an immigration law firm offering businesses and individuals a global solution to moving people around the world, online at goffwilson.com. And Comcast Business supporting New Hampshire Food Bank's collection of non-perishable food items at the New Hampshire for the Holidays Expo, December 7th and 8th. More at eventsnh.com. Good morning, it's 9:40. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow in The Exchange, our series How We Work 5 years Later continues with how you define employee satisfaction in 2013. We'd love your thoughts before the program at exchange at nhpr.org or post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange, and be sure to join us tomorrow morning live at 9. Today, the work series continues. We're looking at young people and how well our education system, from high school on up through college, community college, is preparing them for the jobs of our economy right now. Join us, 1-800-892-6477, email exchange at nhpr.org. And as I said, Facebook is NHPR Exchange, all one word. You can post a comment there. And Ross Cattell and Crystal Hicks, let's go right back to our callers. Another Ross is calling in. This is Ross in Gilmanton. Hi, Ross. Thanks for hanging on. You're on the air.
Actually, it's Russ.
Russ. Okay.
I always sound like I'm saying Russ. I was on yesterday. I'm the independent sales rep representing multiple companies.
Yes, I remember your call from yesterday. Yeah.
I have an 18-year-old and a 21-year-old, and I think that their generation, certain things that are very exciting about their generation, but I do think that there is a maturity level there that is a little bit behind my generation. I keep thinking to myself, would you be an accountant, but would you just do something?
Now, what do you mean by that, Russ? Do something.
Because I, quite frankly, we coddled them. And so they're not used to doing for themselves. They haven't had enough consequence. And so they need to get a good kick in the pants and go out and figure out how to do what they want to do. They expect me to do it for them or their parents for them. But I was really interested in the internship program within the state. I had an intern out of King State. There's a wide range of systems on basically how you get an intern. And I think in some cases, the way to cookie cutter. If you really want a job, you got to really work hard for it. Yeah, I want somebody who wants to work hard for it. I don't want to try too hard to get an intern. And I was literally told that by a university in the state, we want our students going into a more traditional sales environment. And outside sales is a huge field. It is traditional. And that's just a way too conservative approach to it. I'm desperate for help.
You'd love an intern then.
I would, and it's a position that a young, an energetic, smart, doesn't have to be young, talking about yesterday's program, but that they could really create their own job within my company.
All right, Russ, and I want to just get your thought to Crystal first. He'd love an intern.
So I have to say, Russ makes a really great point, and I think the word sales is very scary to a lot of young people because they have this idea of door-to-door or commission only. I wrote an article recently talking about how most students, and Rhonda had said earlier, a lot of her high school students are interested in event planning, and there's all these fun jobs out there. And we have students that come to us, and I say, oh, event planning, so sales. And they're like, no, not sales. And I think what Russ is probably running into is this idea of what sales means. Any student that comes into me, I always say, regardless of what major you are, you're 100% majoring in sales until you land your first job, because it is your job to sell me, the recruiter, on the idea that you want this position and you are the right person for this position and that you only want to work for my company. And those skills are so important. So I would really encourage students to consider sales opportunities regardless of major. Russ makes a great point. But I think also going back to the maturity piece, professionalism is huge. And, when I was in staffing, I staffed for an accounting and finance firm, and I had so many clients tell me, okay, great, so go find me a bookkeeper. I was a headhunter. Here's the job description, here's the schedule, but don't send me someone straight out of high school. And I was like, ooh, that's kind of discriminatory. I can't really fill my order like that, but why are you saying that? And they had just such a bad experience with, a 19-year-old or a 20-year-old or early 20s. And they said, if I see one more lowercase I or texting language pop up in a professional email correspondence, I'm going to flip my lid. And I think there's really something to be said about ageism and how it is actually flipped. It is more detrimental and challenging to be a younger job seeker these days than it is to be an older job seeker. And I think that's something that the younger generation really needs to figure out, regardless of what college you go to or what your background is. You have to go in with your A game, because they're expecting you to come out looking a little bit less professional and immature. And in order to land that job, you have to be completely professional, on top of your game, realistic expectations of the field.
So excellent language skills,
yes.
Both written
writing,
and oral.
Yes.
The way you dress, the way you present yourself, show up on time.
Yes. And these are things that, you know, and Russ admitted, you know, we kind of coddled our kids a little bit, and that has so much to do with it. And it sounds bad, but we tell students right upon orientation, I say, hey, look, I am not the fairy job mother. You do not walk in my office upon senior year and demand a job.
The fairy job mother.
You cannot go out back and plant your degree and a job grows out of it. If you do not put the work in here, you will not have a job in your field waiting for you. You have to put in the work. I can only help you as much as you help yourself. And it sets expectations for us on day one with them. And they come in and see us, and it's a great working relationship. But somebody has to step up and say that to these kids, you know, starting with the parents.
Speaking as a 28-year-old, so you've just come out of this yourself. You know,
I've been in my industry for almost 6 years. But, yeah. I mean, I had people when I was in staffing that looked at me like, oh, you're 23. What are you talking about? But I spent 60 hours a week talking to employers about why they hired this person over that person, why they chose this interview over that interview, why they hired someone with less experience.
I love your thoughts too, Ross. On Russ's point, not so much on sales, because Crystal dealt with that, and we talked about that yesterday as well, but on his experience as a dad. He said, look, I coddled my kids, and now I need to kick them in the pants.
Yeah, well, I think part of the problem is there was a long period of time, and some could argue that it's continuing today, that private higher educational institutions competed for students based upon amenities. Like the residence halls, did they get a single, and were they nice buildings and nice rooms, and the quality of the food, did they have, you know, good food and, you know, 24-hour food, et cetera. And that's part of the coddling culture. Our students at the community college, many of them are first-generation college students. They're very appreciative of the opportunity to go to college and advance their education. And they work really hard, and they're not coddled. So my experience at the community college system is our students are not coddled. And I think there has been this race on, you know, who could have the best amenities within private higher education in particular. But the public higher education has been subject to that to a varying degree also. So when students go in and their parents are there during those tours saying, oh, how's the food at UNH? Or, you know, what's the resident hall experience? And how good is your football team? You know, that's part of this coddling that we're, perpetuating within our own institutions.
Well, and talking about, enhancing people skills, nothing like living in a four-person college dorm to improve your people skills. And now it is more the single room, and yeah, it's more pleasant, and yeah, maybe I would have wanted one, but boy, you learn how to get along with people.
Exactly.
All right. Well, joining us now is someone else who's been deeply involved in this issue. Bob Baines is on the line, director of STEAM Ahead New Hampshire, an initiative plan for Manchester West High School. Baines was a longtime principal at West and also a former mayor of Manchester. And once a mayor, always a mayor, right? Should I still call you Mayor Baines?
I've been called a lot of things in my political life and as a high school principal, so I can accept just about anything.
Well, it's good to have you. And just super, super briefly, this initiative, STEAM Ahead New Hampshire, is sort of brand new. What's the goal, Bob?
The overarching goal is to provide the opportunities for students to graduate from high school with at least one full year of college credit taken care of at no cost to the individual students or their parents. So that's the overarching goal. And obviously focusing on STEM with the arts being a part of it because of the creativity that is needed in those fields. So that's the broad definition of what we're trying to do.
So STEM, it's STEAM, not STEM. So science,
absolutely,
technology, engineering, arts, and math.
Yes, and it's very important. Anybody that's in the STEM fields will tell you, and Dean Kamen used to tell me that all the time when I was at Chester College, send me your creative students. He didn't say to me, send me your engineers, because we didn't have them. You look for people that can think in a very creative way, and that's what the arts do. And West High School has had a strong commitment to the arts for a long period of time, so it's a natural marriage of our effort around STEM to include the arts in it.
Well, and as I said, you were principal of West High School in Manchester for 20 years, a long time before the Great Recession. How do you compare, Bob, the high school experience for kids of those years to the experience that they may be having now?
Well, unfortunately, it's about the same. They're sitting in a classroom from, you know, anywhere from about 7:45 in the morning till 2:30, being taught the same old way in the same old environment. And we need to break the mold. We need to get students out of the schools. One of the things that I would like to see, and I've been telling our planning group, let's blow up what we have right now and get students out. Maybe they're only in classes 3 days a week, and the other 2 days that they're doing internships. They're at places like Dyne or at Silver Tech. Maybe they're at Velcro. There are a lot of different businesses in the community that we can reach out to. They can be at the Currier Museum. They could be at the Palace Theater. They could be at the Community Music School and getting credit for their experiences. And they could be taking classes online. They could be at the Community College. They could be at UNH Manchester. They could be at the New Hampshire Institute of Art. So we're looking at breaking the mold, creating opportunities, and at the same time encouraging more students to get into the STEM field.
Well, and, you know, the internships and getting off campus, and that sounds great, and hands-on experience and making education more exciting. And yet, Bob, we also hear from higher education folks and business folks that kids are graduating from high school and they can't write a paragraph. So maybe they do need to be sitting in that seat learning how to write.
Well, I mean, I've heard that for a long time, yet I've seen some of our students go on, like Seth Meyers is the head writer on Saturday Night Live, not a bad writer. I have other students that have gone on and be very successful in business. Jeremy Hitchcock is one of them right here in Manchester. You always hear that. I think we've been hearing that for a long time. It's not just something we should take very seriously. I think the Common Core, that's good at that. You know, you don't become a writer, but, you know, in high school, I used to, you know, tell students if they wanted to be successful, I'd give them three things to do, read. And I guess the next component of that is then you need to start writing. And that's something the Common Core addresses, and that's why the business community is so supportive of it. So we can walk and chew gum at the same time, I think.
Yeah. Bob, it's good to talk to you again. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
That's Bob Baines, director of STEAM Ahead New Hampshire, an initiative plan for Manchester West High School. Again, he was a principal at West and a former mayor of Manchester. Your quick thoughts, Ross Cattell, on that new initiative they announced in Manchester. It's pretty interesting.
Very interesting, very promising. And I thank Bob and others there, including Jeremy Hitchcock at Dine, for their leadership and Mayor Gassis. Very exciting. We're partnering with them. Our Manchester Community College is very involved. And when Bob talked about the students of Manchester West getting college credit, it's through our Running Start program at Manchester Community College. They're getting college credit. We have Running Start programs, a dual enrollment program with students in their high schools under the guidance of our faculty at our community colleges, get dual credit for both high school and college. So when they graduate high school, they could actually have up to a semester full of college credit. So embedding that in the STEAM program is very exciting. And thinking of other ways to teach students and linking the STEM to creativity in the arts is very exciting. And I think it's going to emerge as a model. The efforts at Manchester West, it could be adapted across the state of New Hampshire in partnership with the community college system and the university system.
Here's an email that came in from Beth in Paris, Maine, who says, both my husband and I were somewhat pushed in the direction of, quote, doing something practical that would make money. And therefore, my husband is now an accounting manager, and I spent most of my working life in jobs that were wrong for me. We both graduated with business degrees, my husband with an MBA. What we have told our children instead is, do what you love. It's a myth, Beth says, in capital letters, that there are no jobs outside of math, engineering, etc. And it's also a myth that students in fields they love can't make a living. Beth says, I am now, finally, at 48 years old, doing what I love, taking a leap of faith, starting my own small artisan business, which is proving very successful. Beth says, but I regard the years I spent in a, quote, practical field as wasted. Well, Beth, I don't think they were wasted. I think you will pull something out of that and you will realize, oh, this is I'm getting something from those years. But I super appreciate your email. What do you think, Crystal?
I love that she's pushing her kids to do something that they love, but it's also forcing them to start thinking about what do you love? Because we...
And what can you do with that?
Right. And that's the biggest thing. And I think a lot of students come in and, you know, we have some students that aren't, I call them, I'm like, you're not my job hunter. You're my company hunter. You know, you have a ton of different skills. You're a liberal arts major. You can do all these different things. You have strong writing, you know, strong sense of self, very self-aware, very mature. You can go and do anything. Where do you want to work? And we have that conversation instead of what can you do for me? And I think it starts a different thought process. I show them how to use LinkedIn. We go through and we find a couple companies that they're interested in, or we'll say, okay, what are you into? Okay, environmentalism. Let's look at the NHBSR list and find some socially responsible companies within New Hampshire. And then they say, wow, Timberland. Look at how sustainable Timberland is. And I say, yeah, you know, I've been there and I know the HR manager. Let's give her a call and see if you can do a job shadow. And it's just these little conversations that spawn into this amazing career opportunity that they never even knew existed, but it's because they're thinking about what is the type of environment I want to work in and what kind of organization do I want to work for. And sometimes, you know, like Beth was saying, it's not cubicle world. It's not the business world. It might be something very different, but it all starts on asking those right questions. So I love that she's at least posing that to her kids to think about.
You know, it was interesting for me, Ross, to hear Bob Baines answer that question I asked him, and you talked about this earlier too. You know, how the education system is helping people get ready for this. And he said, we haven't really changed the way we do things. I thought that was very revealing. You also at the outset said that higher education, education in general, needs to retool itself the way businesses have retooled itself. Just wrap this up for us, if you could, Ross, your hopes for the education system and kind of making that connection better than it is now.
The student population is different than it was, you know, 10 years ago. They are, you know, they learn at a very young age and get you very used to using technology, you know, to get information, to connect, to communicate with each other, to get really access to the whole world. And then quite often we're saying, okay, when you come into our educational institutions, starting at an early age and continuing through college, is you're going to sit in a classroom and listen to some expert tell you what to do. And you're not going to, and there's limited use of technology, but that's increasing. There's limited use of other ways to engage students, like exposing them to internships, to practical applications. And there's limited connection. There should be much stronger connection to the real economy and industry out there. And I think education is improving. STEAM's an example, things we're doing at the community college system, things going on at UNH. But we have to move a little faster and change faster and build a strong case. And we always have to focus, how is this going to affect our students and our student success?
Because they're your customers.
That's our customers. That's what's most important for our institutions and for the state.
This has been great. We could talk for 3 more hours. Thank you both very much for coming in. Ross Cattell, it's good to see you. Thank you for being
here. Okay, thank you, Laura.
Ross Cattell, Chancellor of New Hampshire's Community College System, Forecast Manager of the New England Economic Partnership. Crystal Hicks, a pleasure having you.
Thank you very much.
Crystal Hicks, Associate Director of Career Support and Employment Outreach at the UNH Career Center. The Exchange is a production of NHPR. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producers are Ellen Grimm and Faith Mikesell. Our volunteers are Priscilla Malcolm, John Barrett, and Alan Cohen. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The executive producer is Keith Shields, and I'm Laura Kanoy.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed any part of today's program, listen to The Exchange anytime at nhpr.org.
I'm Laura Kanoy, and tomorrow on The Exchange, we continue our series, How We Work, 5 years later, with defining employee satisfaction in 2013. During the recession, many people held on to their jobs, even if they were unhappy, and many employers were unable to go beyond the basics. But now there's more attention to this, whether it's flex time, good benefits, better pay, or just recognition for a job well done. Send us your thoughts by email, Facebook, and join us for The Exchange, tomorrow morning live at 9 and again at 8 p.m. on NHPR.
This is NHPR 959. Good morning. The Diane Rehm Show next at 10. Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from ENH Power, and supporting nonprofit and community groups through the Power to Help Fund. More information online at enhpower.com. And Waldorf Schools of Southern New Hampshire, including High Mowing School, a boarding and day high school offering a curriculum of arts-infused academics, highmowing.org.
These are the stations of New Hampshire Public Radio.
WEVO Concord, 89.1.
WEVS Nashua, 88.3.
WEVH Hanover, 91.3.
WEVN Keene, 90.7.
WEVC Gorham, 107.1.
WEVJ Jackson, 99.5.
WEVF Colebrook, 90.3.
And WEVQ Littleton, 91.9.
And online at nhpr.org.
It's 10 o'clock.
From WAMU and NPR in Washington, I'm Diane Rehm. Polls show about half of Americans approve of allowing gay and lesbian couples to marry. But among Republicans, that percentage is much lower. This week, a public rift in the family of former Vice President Dick Cheney put the issue back onto the front page.